Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the Virtual CISO Moment. Yevgeny Karam joins us today. He is the founder of EK Cyber and Media Consulting, the CISO for Cyber Beats, and founder of the Cyber Inspiration Podcast. Yevgeny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Very happy to be here today, and I love your intro music. It's really, really engaging.
Hey, it's designed to wake people up and to get them energized in talking about themselves and their cyber journey to begin with. And that's what I'd like to ask you about. How and why did you get into cyber, and really, where did you start?
I kind of went to cyber by mistake. I didn't even know I'm going to cyber, honestly. A bit not traditional, because I was in the army. I was in the Navy in Israel for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I did IT. Basically, I helped to do maintenance on Navy vessels, on everything Navy related. You're talking about speedboats, submarines, really everything's there. And I learned a lot about Linux, Windows, networking, and many different computer stuff. It's not wasn't cyber during this time. I also went to learn MCAC during this time to learn about DNS and DHCP. And when I finished the army, when I graduated the army, I went to look for work. And I stumbled on a QA position in Checkpoint. As you guys probably know, Checkpoint is one of the largest and probably longest company in cybersecurity.
They were the first firewall I ever worked on was a Checkpoint about 24 years ago.
Which version? 4.1 or what was there?
I mean, that's what I think it was. I know that it ran on a Nokia platform. Which was a really great solid combination. Yeah, it probably was Checkpoint 4.1 or something like that. But I mean, come on, you're asking me something that was 2.5 decades ago. I don't remember.
That's how you know people know their stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So I joined Checkpoint as a QA without really understanding what's happening. And then I realized I'm in cybersecurity a year after, because I was basically working with protocols, I was working with firewalls, I was working with debugging, with kernel, understanding attacks, understanding UTM. It was really, really rewarding and interesting. I moved to Canada in 2006, and then I joined Horjovy Group when I actually realized, okay, this is how cybersecurity looks with customers. Because when you work for a vendor, you see the vendor, you see the labs, you don't see real environments a lot. It was very interesting because everybody blamed the firewall. You guys did the change, you guys changed that, you guys disabled here. So I end up learning quite a lot about everything, how endpoints are working, how databases are working, why people blaming firewalls for this change. Definitely more networking VLANs, so VLAN trunking, how to do different collaboration of between different interfaces and high availability and VRP and you name it. So it was quite interesting. And later on, I started to manage people in professional services in cybersecurity in Horjovy Group for network security, for endpoint security, for SIEM, a bit of cloud, and in a way kind of touch almost majority of the technologies. So this has moved me to become an architect. Mm-hmm. And help companies to design and create better architecture. I am a very big believer of connected architecture and infrastructure. I left what I call graduated Horjovy Group last year in 2022 and started my own podcast, started my own consulting business, started to do virtual CISO work for some companies and help helping vendors, managed service providers, companies to have better security in general.
Well, that's an awesome path. And you brought back memory, certainly talking about Checkpoint there. Well, I know that just from that path, I'm sure that you've seen a lot in the realm of threats across all sorts of business sizes, from large enterprises to small and mid-sized businesses. I'm going to ask you in just a moment what you think is the maybe one or a couple of the most significant threats in cyber to small and mid-sized businesses. And we'll pick that up in just a second.
The Virtual CISO Moment is brought to you by vCISO Services, a leading provider of quality and experienced virtual chief information security officers for small and mid-sized businesses. Check them out at vcisoservices.com.
All right, I gave you 18 seconds, but I'm sure you had an answer teed up. What do you think is like one of the most significant threats right now to small and mid-sized businesses in the cyber realm?
I think, unfortunately, is lack of talent or lack of awareness, because it's almost the same things for the SMBs. we don't know what we don't know. So SMB, and SMB could be different things for Canada, US, or Europe, or any other countries. But basically, we're talking about a company that's relatively small mm-hmm. and probably may have somebody IT dedicated or may not, and probably have a very limited staff or security dedicated. And it means they don't know what they don't know. They're not always designing with the security in mind. They're more designing with availability in mind or backup in mind in a good cases, but the security comes after. And unfortunately, it comes after something happened. And something happened is could be loss of data. It could be exposure. It could be unfortunately losing of information. There's a variety of stuff. And when you're talking to small, medium businesses, they don't always have the funds that the enterprises have. Like a professional service day may cost from $1,000 to $3,000 a day, depending on the company you're talking to. And if you're talking to SMB, they're like, well, what do you mean I need to pay you $10,000 to help me with XYZ? I don't even make so much money. I don't even buy new services. Or for them, if you tell them, oh, you need to change your firewall, you need to have a better email security, you need to change your server, it's running an outdated version. They don't recognize this as a risk or something that they need to. If you talk to a dentist and you tell the dentist, oh, what do you mean you have a medical that it's expired? They will change it because they understand the risk. But when you explain to them that you're running an outdated OS with vulnerability or your X-ray scanner is has vulnerabilities, they don't understand this language.
How do you help them to understand the impact to the business? Because certainly, I agree, that's tough to communicate that when really, particularly like your smaller businesses, they're yes. focused on actually running the business and they're running so lean and mean. But one cybersecurity incident could cause some serious issues with them, could even cripple them to the point where they lose their business.
That's has some doubt. Yeah.
That's one of the things I struggle with. It's like how to convince them that they need to beef up their security program, and that's going to cost some money. Do you have any insight into that?
I really like analogy. I really like to bring the analogy, and this is for SMBs and for enterprises and even for like the C-level people. I bring them back to what they care about. This could be home, this could be family, this could be their house. And the simple examples, you're like, okay, when you leave to vacation, do you close all your windows? Do you lock all your doors? Do you tell your neighborhood that you actually left that they can have an eye? You may put a camera system in your home. And depending on the person, they're like, yeah, we know. Or let's say you want to change all the locks in the house. You need to know how many locks you have at the house. So this talking bringing back to asset management.
Right.
Okay, if you want to protect the business, you need to understand what are we protecting. So how many devices do we have? How people can get to your devices? This is one of the analogies I'm bringing. Second one that usually an eye-opening is, I'll give you a simple question. If I prevent you from doing your work for a day or for a week, how much money would you lose? And you're like, okay, it could be 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, depending on the scale of the business. And they'll ask why. Because like, okay, let's talk about it. What do you need at your work to do your work? This could be your CRM system. It could be your database systems. It could be a simple internet connection. This could be a device you use day by day.
You're walking them through a business impact analysis without them actually realizing that you're doing it.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
That's very sly. I like that.
And when we get to this point and they realize if they lose a day of work, but they still need to pay. It's not just lose a day of work. It's mean they lose a potential income. But right. they still need to pay their staff because the staff is there, you know. So it's almost like a double impact. Then in many cases, like, oh, so you say if I spend 10% of just the sum you told me about it, I may, I don't want to say minimize the risk, but I'm going to bring it to the point that the bad guys may not tackle you. Because we do know that in many cases, the bad guys doing spray and pray. There is a lot of scripting there. There are a lot of automation. And in majority of the use cases, the bad guy is not even trying to target you specifically on the SMB, talking about SMB, but they may stumble on you by mistake. So if you bring this fence higher, you know, and put some stuff, that prevent you, they may not even stumble on you. They may just walk around you and not going to try to go somewhere else or basically just pass you.
So the idea is to talk to the business in business language. They don't understand threats so much as they understand dollars and cents or whatever currency. I'm sorry, I'm based here in the States, so I'm going to say dollars.
It's okay. And cents. Yeah, I'm based in Canada. We have also dollars and cents, just different, oh, well, Canada, they, different dollars.
There you go.
But is it going to be true for enterprise as well? If I'm talking to enterprise and I'm talking to somebody that's a $10 billion company and I'm not explaining what is the value of the MFA or what is the value of a NAC solution or email security solution or security awareness for them in the business and the language they understand, it's not going to be different. But and it's going to be the same when you're trying to buy a new boat and you want to try explain it to your significant others why you need it. You need to explain what is the value for them.
So you make this, you sell it, you sell the idea of the control, we'll say MFA, that was since that's the one you mentioned, but you sell the idea of the control and the expense to the C-suite and the board of directors. Then at some point in time, they're going to ask for, well, show me how this has been effective. What is the best way then at that point in time, I guess this would be appropriate for all businesses sizes, to show that it's like, and this gets down into the metrics question. I know it's metrics is almost like a dirty word in cyber. I get that. It's hard to quantify metrics. But how can you convince the board and the C-suite that it's like, okay, we spent the money, we've reduced risk. Now I'm going to show you how we reduce the risk.
So there's a couple of things here. I think one part, we kind of trying to avoid from selling. I think we need to explain and let the people make the decision that they want to buy. You know,
that's
not
a good point.
We're not a car, we're not a used car salesperson.
I don't know. I've met some CISOs that seem to be used car salesmen, but
could be. Like we want to get to the point that the people we explain to them, we give them all the tools, we explain what they want, and they're the ones that make a decision. I think it's also good in a human being part, on a soft skills part, to let them people have the feeling that they got what they got. Two, we didn't talk about that, but I think there's a compliancy thing as well. And by compliance, I mean, not everybody has to be compliant with a certain regulation, but we all hear more about cyber insurance, and cyber insurance become more and more important. And when you go to cyber insurance, it's going to be check, 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 check. Do you have a firewall? Do you have MFA? So it's become a requirement for cyber insurance. And I think it's one of the selling buying points for the companies as well. The third one is showing a statistics of how people, businesses got breached and got hacked, where what? User escalation, not user identity escalation and user access, that is back to MFA. How has it got into the environment via the endpoint? What was not in the endpoint? There was no antivirus. So you're showing the examples. Now, unfortunately, talking about SMB, I don't think you're in a position to show metrics, because to show metrics, you need to get it from there. Mm-hmm. If there's limited number of tools, if there is limited number of telemetry, you're not going to be able to get to metrics. It's the same. How do you explain to someone why you need a lock on your house? Right. What, you know, you can put a camera and show here's the bad guy get in, couldn't open the door and left. But it's almost go to the point that like, look, everybody else is doing this. You have to do this as well. So it's maybe easier to show metrics on some of the advanced stuff. Or when you're going to enterprise and you show metrics, we implemented this technology and we see less alerts. We see people more happy when they work. People actually have a benefit of ease of use. I'm a very big believer that we shouldn't introduce tools going to make people life much harder. If you work from home and you need to use remote VPN, ZTNA, whatever you want to call it these days, and I need to put my password every 5 seconds, then I'm going to be very pissed. So how can I do that? They can do it once a day and actually enable me to work and not make me unhappy during my day.
The point about metrics with SMBs, I think, is spot on. And that's one of the reasons why I kind of almost hesitated to bring up the word metrics, because you're right. It's like, it's almost like that's a test question. It's like, well, name like 5 or 6 or 10 good security metrics. And my answer always is, it's dependent upon the business. I mean, a lot of it is like, what do you care about? And what can you digest and what can you actually obtain? And yeah, if you have an organization that doesn't have or need like a quality SIM or some sort of UEBA or other devices out there, you can get some pretty low end powerful EDRs right now that can provide some baseline metrics at the very least to show it's just like, yeah, we are protecting like we say we're protecting, but that's about it at that point in time. And so I almost would like to see the metrics question become less of like a sort of a CISO standard asking question and more of like, well, let's talk about business conversation, because as you said, and you corrected me on this, and I appreciate that, we shouldn't be talking about selling to the business. We should be explaining to the business. We should, it's on our point, on our responsibility to understand how to talk the business language, right?
And I think it's for SMBs, the part I would like them to change their mindset is the same as you're doing awareness about what happened if you have a fire, what happened if you need to evacuate because of whatever it is, or maybe there is somebody is sick and we need to go, cannot come to work, what is the procedure? Whatever is the procedures we have as a safety, there need to be include cyber procedures as well. What if you see a strange email? What if you see a strange behavior? You know, this is the part that we need to include in the awareness, not because we're trying to be mean, is because we need to know this part. You know, this is how we explain to our case, this is what we need to do as well. And yes, I live in a building and we have fire alarm testing and we need to know about that. And it's become part of our life, not good or bad. It is what it is, because if God forbid something will happen, we know the equipment is working. And also think about allocating budget upfront. You don't need to spend $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 just because something happened. If you allocate 5%, 2% every month, you're going to get there. And I think probably the best advice is to do outsourcing. If you focus on dentists, if you focus on massage, if you focus on making sausages, this is your main business.
Right.
Find a security professional, find a virtual CISO, find a small MSP that I hope you trust or somebody else recommended, and let the professional do the professional work, and you focus on your professional work as well.
Exactly. I mean, so myself as a small business owner, it's like I'm not an accountant. So I have like software to help me. I use QuickBooks and I also have an accountant to help with the books because it's not my competency. And it's one of those things where I've recognized from the risk that if I mess up on my accounting, that could be a very bad thing for the business. It's the same thing with cyber, with what you're saying.
Yep.
So you mentioned, I'm going to pivot a little bit here. You mentioned early on talking about your career, about your podcast that you started. Let's talk. What's the name of it? And I think I talked about it in the beginning. Tell us a little bit about it.
There's actually two podcasts. One is Cyber Inspiration, and the second one is Security Architecture.
Oh, I missed the second one.
No, it's okay. Right. Yeah. Cyber Inspiration is now part of Security Architecture. Architecture started with a friend, Dimitri, and we basically started this together. We're interviewing vendors in cybersecurity about their design and architecture. We basically choose a topic. So let's say MFA or remote access. We'll create 5, 6, 8 questions, and we ask every vendor the same questions. This way, a customer that wants to buy such solution can go listen to the show and be much smarter before they're going and buying.
I love that. I love that. And so how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing this for almost 3.5 years. There's like around 50, 60 episodes. There's like 5 seasons. Every season is a different name or different topic.
That's fascinating. And where can it be found? Is it on the podcast platforms, on YouTube?
It's all the podcast platform on YouTube as well. So Security Architecture Podcast. And there's also the website. We can link this here, or I can send it to you later on as well. Oh, and Cyber Inspiration, something I started last year. It's completely not technical. I'm interviewing founders of cybersecurity vendors, but we're talking about business. What was the motivation to start the company? How did they actually raise money? How did they hire people? How did they advance? How did they learn how to sell? How is it dealing with the problems and day-by-day tasks? So it's very inspirational and very business-oriented versus technology-oriented.
I find those fascinating. On occasion, I kind of have different types of guests on here. A few weeks ago, I had Esteban Rivicek, I believe I pronounced his last name correctly. He is the founder of a open source GRC platform called Aramba. And what triggered me to think about this was about why did you start this business? And it seems like every entrepreneur that starts a vendor that starts a business, if they start from the aspect of wanting to solve a problem, usually they seem to have a really successful project. And that's what Esteban said. It's like, basically, I was working with spreadsheets all this time. I was a CISO. I wanted to build something that would work better for what I was trying to do. So I love that angle as well, too. I'm not trying to steal from your idea.
No, it's all good.
I'm just saying that I do. It. I think it's great, though, to focus on that. So I will try my best to remember to put links to both of those podcasts in the show notes, because I think that's a wonderful service that you guys are doing.
Great.
So being in cyber, I know this from experience. I'm sure you can attest to it too. It can be very, very stressful. And I think that we have a problem in cyber of folks overworking themselves, a little bit of mental health problems, cyber burnout. I was there myself at one point in time. I think it's very important that we learn and we teach folks to step away from cyber and to have a life outside of cyber. What's one of the things that you do, or more than one if you'd like to talk about it, that you do to get away from the stresses of cyber?
So I'm a very outdoorsy person, and I'll talk about this in a second, but I was able to combine my passion for outdoor and cyber as well. I'm doing whitewater canoeing, I'm biking, I'm snowboarding as well, and camping. So this is how I kind of able to reflect. And in many cases, I'm able, because of we can work remotely during the summer, I was able to work from my campground as well. I got a Starlink and a solar panel, and I was able to do my work as well. So it was quite rewarding to combine the two hobbies. But what I also did in the beginning of this year, me and several friends, we created a networking event, a conference called Ski and Snowboard Cybersecurity Conference. So we actually did a conference that combined security and snow. We had our first event in March. We're going to have another event end of February next year, 2024. Was quite rewarding. We had around 200 people the first one. And it's interesting how you combine hobbies and work at the same time.
Well, you know, and sometimes I think that there's a lot of truth in the saying that if you love what you do, you really don't work a day in your life. I do what I do because I love what I do at this point in time. And if it ever got to the point of being too stressful, I probably would stop doing it. But is this the same conference that we were talking about at the beginning of the pod or before the recording, where we talked about that SMB conference? No,
there's another idea to actually do a dedicated SMB conference, probably end of March. We're still trying to understand how it's going to be. It's going to be physical and virtual, so going to be a hybrid, or the physical part going to be in Toronto and the hybrid going to be for everyone. And the idea is actually focusing on SMBs to help them have a better security. We understand how hard it's for them, so we plan to figure out what's the best way to do it. We potentially will do it with Microsoft together. They're going to sponsor and help us to bring it up. So there's a lot of ideas. We don't have a link yet, but maybe we can share something later on.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I definitely will participate, most likely virtually. I don't know if I'll be able to, because it's physically, you're thinking about it being in Toronto?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit of a long drive from Nashville, so I don't know if I'd actually be able to make it up there. But what are your future plans now? I assume part of your future plans include continuing with the podcast.
So definitely continuing with the podcast. Definitely continue with several of the conferences and networking events. I'm also working on the book in progress right now. The book is about soft skills in technical sales, basically help people to understand how they connect better, why it's important, how to set up their home, set up for the video, how to become a better speaker, how to deal with fear. So quite a lot of different things.
That's awesome. When do you think it'll come out?
I really hope in Q1. So maybe before end of March.
Awesome. Well, you have to. I'm looking forward to it. It's like, if you want and come back on, we can talk a little bit more about the book at that point.
I'll be happy to do it.
Well, listen, Eugenie, I am. Did I get it right?
Yes.
I'm 3 for 3. I love it. Really appreciate your time being on this morning and taking the time just to chat. Fascinating stuff. Really like your servant heart and what all that you're doing as far as helping the community all across the spectrum, large businesses, small businesses, and definitely looking forward to hearing more about that conference and certainly your book. So thank you so much again for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And everybody, stay secure.